we are looking at the doctrine of the Trinity. On page 3 of last week's lecture, and part B, we've seen that there's a plurality of persons in the Godhead. There's clear evidence from the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, where we're mainly concentrating in this part. And there's clear evidence that there's a plurality of persons in the Godhead. But is there evidence that there are three? Why not two? Or why not four? Let us make man in our image. There's a plurality there. Why not two? Why not three, four? Well, as you study the scriptures deeper in the Old Testament, and of course when we come to the New Testament and the fullness of the revelation, but as you study the Old Testament scriptures more closely, you find that there are three persons, and that there are no more than three persons. There's not a fourth. And some of the scriptures that prove this are in Genesis, the opening, very opening verses, actually. There is a hint of the Trinity. It's only in the fullness of the revelation that is brought out more clearly, but nevertheless, there is a hint of it even in the very opening verses. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We saw that the word God there is a plural form. The verb is singular. He created, not they created, but strangely, God itself, the name, is in a plural form, and there's a hint of the plurality there of persons. But then we see that there is God who made the world, and then we see in verse 2 this person who's called the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So there's another person hinted at there. And as we study this Spirit of God in Scripture, this Holy Spirit, we find that he is distinct from Jehovah in many regards. And yet he is Jehovah. He is God. He has creative power here. He's there at the origin of the earth. And then there's a hint also of the Word of God, the Logos. God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And the Logos is particularly identified with the light. Christ is the light of the world, and in him was light, and the light was the life was the light of light. And so there's a hint there. Exodus 31 verse 3, here again we read of the Spirit of God. "I have filled him," God says, "with the Spirit of God, in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship." So we've seen that there is the angel of the covenant, the angel of Jehovah, who is himself Jehovah. And now we begin to read, and there are other places in the Pentateuch where we read of this Spirit, the Spirit of God. God is speaking, and God says, "I have filled him with the Spirit of God." And this Spirit of God imparts wisdom and understanding and knowledge. He's the one who comes down in contact with us and works in us. He's the one who moves on the creation, who touches creation, who moves on the creation, and who moves in sinners, and who moves in men, and giving us gifts and ability and wisdom and understanding. He is the hands-on God, the Holy Spirit. And you see this more fully as you study the scriptures. And then Psalm 51, we're just selecting a few references here to this person who is God, who has the attributes of God. And we'll study more about the Holy Spirit in a future lecture, but we're just drawing attention to some of the verses now. Verse 11 of Psalm 51, "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Isaiah 63 and verses 10 and 11, again we read, "They rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit," God's Holy Spirit. Some have suggested that this is just a power, the energy of God, and it's not a person, but you can't vex a power. You can only vex a person, grieve a person, hurt a person, vex a person, and God's Holy Spirit is vexed. So here's a person And therefore he was turned to be their enemy. He's a person who was turned, and he became resistant to creatures, and he fought against them. So the Holy Spirit here, a distinct person. And he's referred to there again in verse 11. So those are only just three or four references out of very many in the Old Testament that could have been selected. So there is a hint then of a third person. There is God, there is Jehovah, there is the angel of Jehovah, the angel of the Lord, the messenger of the covenant, who is also Jehovah. And then there is this third person, his Holy Spirit. And there is no more, there's not a fourth. And that this plurality is no more than three and no less than three is clearly revealed from scriptures such as the following. Numbers chapter 6, the blessing of the high priest that he was to put upon the people when he was to put the name of God upon the people and bless them with the name of the Lord. You'll notice that the name of the Lord takes a threefold form. Numbers 6, verse 24, the Lord says that on this wise shall ye bless the children of Israel. Verse 27, they shall put my name upon them. And then we read there that there is a threefold name. The Lord bless thee, verse 24. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives peace. He's the one who comes into the heart and gives peace. The Lord Jesus, the verse 25, he's the one whom, in the face of whom we see the glory of God. He shines upon us, and it's his grace that saves us and reconciles us to God. And it all flows from the Father, from whom is the blessing, and the one who keeps us on to the end. And there is a sort of a hint here of the baptismal formula, isn't there? Baptizing them in the name. There's just one name. But there's a threefold aspect. The Father, the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And you see this threefold formula, threefold hint, very, very often in the Bible. We mentioned it there on the Lord's Day. And Isaiah chapter 6, we looked at Isaiah chapter 6 and we saw it there also. This reference to a threefoldness in God. Verse 6, chapter 6 and verse 3, where the angels sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Why not just holy, holy? Why not holy, 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 holy is the Lord of hosts? But there's this threefold holiness of God. The Father is holy, the Son is holy, and the Spirit is holy as well. Chapter 33 and the verse 22. 33 and the verse 22. The Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. In the Psalms, this kind of repetition is frequent. This threefoldness. And chapter 48, verse 16. Isaiah 48, verse 16. Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God and his Spirit hath sent me. So it is Christ that is speaking. It's the Saviour that is speaking here. And he's saying, I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. The Lord is saying, I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. He's spoken from the beginning. His word he published. He is the great prophet of the church. From the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God and his Spirit hath sent me. So there's a clear reference to three persons there that are divine. The Lord God, the Lord Jehovah, his Spirit, and this person who has been speaking from the very beginning, this mysterious messenger of the covenant. Daniel chapter 9, Others might have been selected as well to show hints of this. We really get the fullness of the revelation of the Trinity in the New Testament, of course, but it is clearly discernible for those that study deeply into the Old Testament scriptures. Daniel chapter 9 and the verse 19. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. A threefold repetition there again. But then it's in the New Testament where we have the fullness of this revelation of this threeness in God. Matthew 28, I've referred to the baptismal formula. I needn't turn to that again. But if we go to Acts chapter 2 and the verse 32, Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. So you see the three distinct persons here. There's the Jesus, there's the one exalted at the right hand of God. This person is able to receive the Holy Spirit, and he's able to cast him out and dispense with him in his sovereignty as he pleases. Only a divine person is able to do that. So Christ at the right hand, and God the Father who gave the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit, of course, who's given by the Father and who is shed abroad by the Lord Jesus Christ. The three persons. There's not a fourth. There's nobody else. Always these three. Romans 15 and 30. These verses all also bring out the distinction of persons. The Father can't be the Son, and the Son can't be the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can't be either of those two persons. Romans chapter 15 and verse 30, where we read, Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Three persons again together there. The distinction of them clear. There are no other. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. Such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So there are the three persons there again. Chapter 12, verse 3. Chapter 12, verse 3. I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit, and then the Spirit of God, he's a Spirit who is a distinct person from God, God the Father, that is, the Spirit of God calleth Jesus. No man speaking by the Spirit calleth Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. The three persons there again. Discernible. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and the verse 14. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the benediction, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. The threefoldness of God again. And then 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath chosen, from the beginning, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Three persons again, clearly discernible. God, the Lord, the name usually in the New Testament given to the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. The names have to be different, or there would be confusion. If it said we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of God, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of God and belief of the truth. If it was just God used of all the persons all the time, the distinction of persons would be confused. It wouldn't be as easy for us to discern this. And so each person gets a name that particularly sets him apart. The Father is usually called God. The Lord Jesus is usually called Lord. And the Holy Ghost is usually called Holy Ghost, or the Spirit our Holy Spirit. Three persons, only three persons. Each of these three persons, the last page then, and we'll get this last lecture concluded, each of those three persons in the Godhead, distinct persons, each of them is the one living and true God. And that's what we're going to prove now over the next few weeks, that the Father is God, that the Lord Jesus Christ is truly God, and that the Holy Spirit also is truly God, yet a distinct person. Now, the Father is God. We'll not look at all these verses. There's no argument about this. Everybody knows that the Father is God, and that God is called oftentimes Father. The expression God the Father itself occurs some 13 times in the Scriptures. So there's no question about the supreme deity of the person of the Father. Sometimes the whole Trinity can be called Father, but usually it is to set forth the distinction of Him who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Father is God.